How's everybody doing? Well, we've been in a series called Not a Fan. Who's a fan anymore of God? No. We'll be talking more about this. Someone asked me last week, we were talking about being a disciple, and I hope that we will get to some practical. Sometimes being a follower of Jesus is kind of abstract. It's kind of fluid. There's no formula. So this morning it's going to be a little less clear. It'll be more abstract. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit, because God's moving, and we don't know, as we saw last week, right? Nicodemus. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he talks about the wind and how the wind, we don't know where the wind comes from, right? We know it moves because we see the trees move, and we really don't know the Spirit where he's going. We just trust that God's Spirit's going to move. So as we're talking about being a fan, I thought of this story that I may have told you before, but you're going to have to hear it again. So... but I was in Redding, California. I was working at Chevy's Mexican restaurant, and it's a restaurant that they give you free chips and salsa. Who likes those type of restaurants? I love those restaurants. I mean, endless chips and salsa. And I worked there, and so I was the guy that brought the chips and salsa and the waters, and, you know, they would call you a busser. But yeah, that's what I did. And so it was lunchtime, and there was nobody in the restaurant. And these guys came and sat down. And so I went and did my job. I got the salsa and I got the chips. I brought it over, and then I went back to get their water. And as I was walking back, I saw them. They bowed their heads and they started to pray. And so I stopped and I waited, and then they finished, and I came over and gave them their water. And I said to these guys, I said, are you new students at Simpson College down the street? And he said, no. We're actually a Christian rock band. Have you heard of Third Day? And I said, nope. And as some of you may know, Third Day, very popular Christian rock band, Mac Powell. I met him, and he was eating at Chevy's Mexican restaurant in Redding, California. They were having a concert that night, and in fact, he invited me to go to the concert for free. And so at that time, Susan was pregnant with Emily, and very pregnant. And so I took Susan and Emily to this concert, and so we had a great time. Emily was turning inside of Susan's tummy at the music, and at the end of the concert, all these teeny boppers, you know, they're all, woo, we want Mac to sign our book or our t-shirt or whatever. And I was hesitant because I didn't want to come across as a fan. You know, I kind of felt a little embarrassed, but I really wanted to say thank you for the free tickets. And so I followed the teenagers, and as he was walking down, his band and him were walking down to greet all the teenagers, I just gave him a nod and I said thank you, and I went on my way. But I thought about, you know, we've been talking about being a fan, and we've been talking about knowing stats. I mean, some of you may know stats of the football teams that you watch, and you may know the people, you know, about what they do and who they are and how popular they are, and maybe the TV shows, it may be the movies that you watch. But really, when it comes down to it, you just know about them. You just know information, right? Are you guys with me? Mm-hmm. You don't know the person. You don't. I don't know Mac Powell. I met him. I don't know even his wife's name. I could look it up, but I've never sat in his living room. I've never watched football with him. I don't know him. I know that he's, I could read on Google stories about he's a good guy, and I can sense that he has a good heart, and he loves the Lord because of his music, but I don't know him. And so this morning, I want to do a little bit of a fun thing here with you to kind of get us. This is a family Bible flip quiz. We play with this at times. Kids love it. And there's different levels, so you're going to have to help me out here. Okay? Level one. This is easy. Okay? There was a couple here I had in mind, but I'm not finding it. But anyway, let's just start with, name the first woman created by God. Yes. You're awesome. All right. What was the name of Jesus' mother? Mary, good job. All right. We're going to go to level two because you guys are doing great. No. Come on, level two. There you go. Okay. Who brought a child back to life by lying on top of him and warming him? That's an interesting one, but does anybody know that one? Elijah. Woo. All right. Who gave names to all the animals and birds? Adam. This should be level one, right? Come on. Okay. Who was the son of Nun? N-U-N. Good job. All right. We need to go higher. Level two. Or level three. Which is the first building mentioned in the Bible? Ooh. All right. First building. Tower of Babel. I heard it over here. Okay. Which is the only talking bird in the Bible? I don't think I ever knew that one. I'll give you a hint. It's our mascot. Eagle. You weren't sure. That's what it says. Someone's got to find that verse for us next week. All right. Level four. You guys ready for the next level? These go kind of difficult. So, okay. Well, this is kind of easy. I don't know why this isn't level four. Who said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear"? Jesus. Good answer. You could say Jesus for a lot of these, right? All right. A couple more. Who did Adam say was bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh? Eve. See, this is level four. You guys are smart. Okay. Let's see. Let's see. No, I just, it's kind of, well, okay, fine. And God said, let there be. Level four. Okay. I'm trying to stump you. How far were the Jews allowed to travel on the Sabbath according to the law? 60 paces, but does that break down into miles? Because they wrote it in miles. It says 2/3 of a mile. You go get your calculator out. All right. Okay, one more. To see. What kind of animals did Samson use to set fire to the Philistines' corn? I can't stump you. Good job. Give yourselves a hand. All right. Okay. Well, I do that for the reason. The reason I do that is because we could find all the things in there about Jesus, and we could learn them, we could understand them, but does it prove that we know Jesus? Does it prove that we know him in an intimate, personal way? No. No, it doesn't. And that's what I want to talk with you about this morning. We're gonna look at Luke 7, 36 through 50. I'm gonna look at that first, and I want to talk to you a little bit about it. But let me pray. Father, We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to know you. And so I just pray that this morning as we delve into your word, that you would speak to us and that you would help us to understand more, not just knowledge, but who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 7:36. Now, this is a story about two different characters, and I want you to just pretend or envision you're a fly on the wall, and you're in the room with this conversation, and these two characters, three characters, but two characters I want to identify with you this morning are having a conversation. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, he thought, if this man was a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water on my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, Your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, Who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now I want to talk to you just real quick about relationships. We all know that relationships have different levels. Okay, we run into each other and we say, Hi, how are you doing? What do you do for work? Things like that, right? That's like level one. That's like, there's no intimacy in that, right? That's just like, hey, you're probably considered an acquaintance, right? But if you go to the next level, right, I'm going to give you five. This is just my own, I'm not a professional at this, but I just came up with five. And that is, you've got the level one, and then you go to the level two, and that's your opinions. You maybe share your opinions, and you've gone to the next level of a relationship or friendship. Then you got the level three. You have, maybe you start to talk about your beliefs, your belief systems, your philosophy, how you run your life, and what makes you tick. But then you get to the next level. The next level is level four, and you talk about your feelings and your struggles. And what's going on in your life this week that you're hurting or you're discouraged or you're sad? And that's probably the next level in a friendship or a relationship. But then you get to level five, and level five is a little scary for people, and that is the level that you share your desires, you share your sin, you share. It's intimate, and this is a picture. This passage in Luke 7 is a picture of intimacy. Now, guys, men, guys, I want you to really, really work at putting yourself in this position in thinking about this. This is really hard to do when you think of Jesus. You don't think of wetting your hair on his feet. It's hard to do. Maybe ladies, it's hard for you to think of that, to put yourself in that scenario. But there's a word in Scripture that is in Hebrew to know, and the word to know is anybody? Yada, yada, yada. I know. So, in the very beginning in Genesis, if you read King James, Genesis 4:1 says, Adam knew Eve, and then Eve conceived. You get the picture? In other translations, Adam and Eve were intimate and conceived. So that's the beginning of this word to know. And it's called yada. To know, to know, to know. And now I know that our society muddies up the idea of intimacy. But when a husband and wife know each other, that is very intimate. It is a place where you share your feelings. It is as when you have a relationship with somebody and it's intimate, you are transparent. You lay it all out on the table. You can cry in front of them. You can pray with them. And it is a place to know the person, and it is a place where you are known. Some of us, that is not the level we are comfortable at. And this lady, who in this story, the situation is very interesting because she is not welcome. She is a prostitute. She has labels all over culture. And people have, I mean, of course, some of those labels are because of her own doing, but some of those labels are just because she lives in a society that labels people. And one of the things that's going on in this passage is you probably need to know and to understand, and that is when we go into a house, and when we come and we have dinner with somebody, sometimes we give them a hug, sometimes we shake their hand, sometimes we take our shoes off, right? I don't have any holes. Possibly, maybe a little. But we take our shoes off and we get comfortable, right? We go into the kitchen or the living room, depending on where people are going to sit and relax, right? But in this culture, the kiss on the cheek, right? They would anoint, they would actually put olive oil on their heads sometimes. If you're really a person of honor, they would wash your feet, actually wash your feet. The minimal that you could do to be hospitable would be they would give you water and you would wash your own feet. And it would be mandatory that you would wash your feet before dinner. Kind of like, you know, we wash our hands before dinner, right? And so what happens is this Pharisee named Simon, he doesn't do any of this. He doesn't acknowledge Jesus at all. I mean, he almost like he's bringing him in to pin him down and just to pin him down. There was no feet washing. There was no oil. And it wasn't an oops. It wasn't. He deliberately ignored those things. He was inviting Jesus into his house, maybe for prestige. Maybe perhaps he was trying to trap him with his questions. As we say in my family, he was rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. Right? You know, you would not go into someone's home in America and, you know, walk in with muddy shoes on white carpet. Right? It was just rude and crude. And so Simon, if you can picture, Simon is a Pharisee. He knows all of this information. Literally, when they grow up, when they are 12, they know 12 books of the Old Testament by heart, memorized. By the time they are 15, they know the whole Old Testament by heart, memorized. And so this Pharisee, Simon, he knew about Jesus. He knew the law. He knew all the prophecies about this coming Messiah. I don't know if he connected the dots, but he called him a prophet. He knew knowledge about Jesus. He knew knowledge about God. He knew knowledge about the law and the prophets. But did he know Jesus? Like the word we were talking about earlier, yada, intimate, know God. You can have knowledge about, you can have knowledge without intimacy. And knowledge can also be a false indicator of intimacy. Just because you and I know a ton of things about God does not mean that we know Him. Does not mean that we are known. He knows us, but it does not mean that we, yada, know Him. So I was thinking about intimacy and just the thing, maybe you can come up with some things in your mind, but knowing people, I thought of Christmas morning. You come out, you open your presents, right? But you come out in your PJs. You're relaxed. You know each other. Your hair is sticking up, right? Maybe not yours, but mine is, right? Not as much now that it's shorter. Those are times where there is, you could call it an intimate time, family time. Saturday mornings, you wake up, you don't have to look your best. You're just with people that you know, and they know you. You can do that on a vacation. You can lounge around, play cards, eat together. You know each other. Hopefully, right? To know and to be known. This word yada, you'll find it as you go through the Old Testament because it's Hebrew, is in Psalm 139. Anybody know that passage? I'm going to turn to Psalms 139 for you. And I want you to look at it with me. First six verses. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. That's the word yada. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. God knows us. He knows us very intimately. And the point of following Jesus is so that we will know Him intimately. And I want to go back to the lady, the lady that came into the room, and she was uninvited, and she had tears coming down, and she didn't care about what the Pharisees were going to say about anything. She was focused on one thing, and that was Jesus. And she knew, it says in the story, Jesus talked about sin, right? He talked about forgiveness. She knew that she was forgiven. In fact, before you realize how much you need forgiveness, you need to realize that you are a sinner. Before you realize how much you need forgiveness, you need to realize that you are a sinner. And that's what this lady realized, this prostitute. She knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she was, she had done her own thing, lived her own way, not lived for God. And she had probably heard Jesus talking. She had probably had heard a lot about what was said about Jesus. And so she's in there, and perhaps her eyes are welled up with tears. And she realizes that God loves her. Maybe she realized God could put broken pieces back together. Maybe it is a way that Jesus looked at her with love and compassion. His eyes probably communicated that she had value and she had worth. She was just a sinner to everybody else. But to Jesus, she was a beloved daughter. She was dearly loved and dearly known. She took a huge risk, but she realized perhaps she could follow him. You know, and she walked into that room with all those condemning glares. She was focused on Jesus. She was reckless. She was impulsive. She became a follower. This is exactly what Jesus wants as a follower. Someone who is just like this lady. In the end, the religiosity, the leader, Simon, the Pharisee, he was probably just considered a fan. Maybe he just liked the prestige or the excitement that was going around Jesus, and he wanted to know more. But he was not in the position of saying, yeah, I'm a sinner. I could guess that Simon the Pharisee considered himself not a sinner, and yet that lady was a sinner in his mind. So I want to ask this question. So who are you in the story? And think about this for a minute. Who are you in the story? I know that I have many times been the person standing and not the person kneeling at Jesus' feet. Oh no, I'm not a sinner. No, I'm better than that. Oh no, I'm not going to get on my knees. No. Last week we were singing this song. I don't remember which song it was. It was talking about being in the presence of God, and I'll be honest with you guys. I heard God say, "Take your shoes off," and I didn't do it. It was just a little thing, and yet God was telling me to do something. And I thought of this lady that she just let her hair down, which was not allowed in culture. It was not allowed. They could not. I mean, it was very bad to take your hair down as a woman. It was intimate. And yet she cried all over Jesus' dirty feet, which Simon had never even once offered to get him water to clean his feet. And she washes his feet, and she gets this perfume, not olive oil, that which is inexpensive, right? She gets expensive perfume, and she pours it all over his feet. Now, I don't know if I could tell you, 1, 2, 3, that's how you follow Jesus. I don't know if I could do that. But I think that Jesus tells many stories in here that we can read and that we can meditate on, and we can realize that there's a contrast here, right? The Pharisee, Simon, he folded his arms and he was just like, "Okay, show me what you got, Jesus." Right? He didn't care. And yet, this contrast was this prostitute, this lady that knew she was a sinner, came in and let her hair down and said, "Jesus, I love you." My question to you this morning is, when was the last time you had a moment with Jesus like this woman? When was the last time you demonstrated your love for him in reckless abandonment, like taking my shoes off in the midst of people? Who cares? Right? It's Jesus. So I'm not asking you if you know about him. That's easy, right? That's easy. I'm asking if you know God. If that word intimacy, do you know him? Yada. And before you realize how much you need forgiveness, you need to realize you are a sinner, and he forgives you, and he loves you, and he wants to embrace you. This morning, I want to go into a time of communion, and I would love to just create this picture of a table and chairs and candles and just a beautiful table set for you. And you come to the table and Jesus is there and he wants to commune with you. He wants you to know him. He already knows you. So I want to invite you. This table. You know, sometimes we do the table and it's just ritual. Don't do that. Don't do that. Meet with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your Son, Jesus, who he came down to this earth and lived a life that was very difficult. He experienced what we experienced. He was tempted and yet did not sin. He struggled. And so because he struggled with temptation, he is able to help us who struggle with temptation. But thank you, Lord, that like the lady that came into the room and kneeled at Jesus' feet and gave everything, you forgave her. You forgive all of us, even the Pharisee. And yet, he didn't understand it. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that you would help us to go just a step closer to being intimate with you. Help us to know you. I pray that for my heart. I pray that for my friends here in this room, for their heart, that we would just let our hair down and just be followers of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.